This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Why do we soldiers have to dig through local landfills for pieces of scrap metal and compromised ballistic glass to up-armor our vehicles, and why don't we have those resources readily available to us?
Tennessee Army National Guard Specialist Thomas Wilson, who will soon deploy to Iraq, speaking Wednesday to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, asking a question at a town hall meeting in Kuwait. Concerns over the fleet of U.S. trucks and Humvees in Iraq rank among the week's top stories, as well as a bill that would amount to the biggest overhaul of U.S. intelligence in 50 years and a surprise opening overnight at the Department of Homeland Security. We'll get to all of it. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And we'll get to the Q&A with Specialist Wilson, Secretary Rumsfeld, in a moment. But late last night, Bernard Carrick withdrew his name from consideration as head of new head of National Homeland Security. What happened?
Big surprise. Well, what happened, I guess, is what happened to Zoe Baird, who was President Clinton's original choice for Attorney General, and what happened to Linda Chavez, who was President Bush's original choice for Labor Secretary. Employing illegal immigrants on whom you don't pay Social Security taxes because they are illegal. Well, these things turn up when you're beginning to go through the FBI investigation of the whole past of somebody nominated for high office. It's especially ironic in the case of the Secretary for Homeland Security, who actually has jurisdiction over immigration. It may also be, though, that the White House saw that Carrick might be having some trouble in his confirmation hearings because of earnings on stock options from a company called Taser International, which makes the stun gun and does business with Homeland Security.
We want to get to intelligence reform early because that bill is now on its way to the president for signature. It calls for a new intelligence chief to oversee the CIA and FBI, among other agencies. What other changes do you note?
What other changes? Well, what it does is to give broad power to this National Director of Intelligence, but not power as broad as the 9/11 Commission would have liked. That's to say that given authority over budgets and spending. There are a lot of things in the 600-page thing. Some of them seem rather small until you examine them closely. For example, a large variety of provisions which are geared to the fighting of terror, making it a crime to visit a camp that may be a terror camp or a military training camp, and various measures that make surveillance easier and weaken civil liberties and privacy. And then there came to light a hush-hush program of more than $9 billion to build a new generation of spy satellites, which some critics say is unneeded and a great waste of money.
Forgive me. Chairman Kaine and co-chairman Hamilton had lobbied so hard for the passage of this bill. In your estimation, is the bill that finally passed come close to what they wanted?
Well, I'd rather take their estimation, and I would like to take especially the estimation of the families of the 9/11 victims who worked so hard and lobbied so hard to get both the commission and now the bill. They accept this as a lot better than nothing. They accept this as progress. They've cheered it and so on. And then this is, if they feel that way about it, I guess so do I. Mm.
And let's get back to that clip of tape that we played of Specialist Wilson in Kuwait. In your estimation, how well did Secretary Rumsfeld, who can be a blunt and well-spoken man, handle that question?
You mean but something that will go down in the annals of secretaries of defense, saying you go to war with the army you have, not the army that you might want or wish to have? So that would be a good answer after Pearl Harbor. That would be an answer if America was subject to an attack and had to go instantly into action with what it had. But we're talking here about the war in Iraq, which was being prepared, I think, since January 2001. They had 2 years in which they really knew there was going to be an invasion of Iraq, and they had a lot of time to decide whether they had enough armor for that, I think.
January 2001. We're not sure you meant that. That would have meant just that would have meant much earlier than I think has been established. But let me ask you this question: Does it indicate that they were counting on a different kind of war, or not counting on this phase after gaining an initial victory? In other words, having to armor virtually each and every vehicle that plies through Iraq.
They clearly were in many ways not prepared for what they found. There was also a question of this widespread looting, which might not have happened if there had been 100,000 more American troops there to guard what was the museums and what was happening there. I think that they acted as though they were going to go through a war. When the secretary was asked about the looting, he replied with one of his famous things. He says, "Well, stuff happens." Mm-hmm. And there is something about there simply not being aware or caring or being sufficiently sensitive to the fact you don't just go in and go pull down a statue of Saddam Hussein. That's the end of it.
There were reports that Specialist Wilson had some help, at least in phrasing the question, by a Tennessee reporter who'd been embedded with his company.
That's well. It's not just report. It's true, and nobody denies it. The young GI went up to a reporter who was embedded with his unit and asked to help in phrasing a question. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's a roar of applause when the question was asked indicates that it was a question that went down very well with most, if not all, of the soldiers who were there. I know it's become a big. Controversy, because there are always controversies these days about reporters and what they do, but I must say, for the life of me, I can't see what all the trouble's about.
I must say, when I've been stationed with U.S. troops, I've helped soldiers write occasional love letters.
I hear
from them occasionally. No marriages have resulted, alas.
I want
to ask you about this Rhode Island reporter, Jim Terracani, who's been sentenced to 6 months of house arrest for refusing to reveal a source on one of his stories. He came into possession of a FBI videotape of a local politician taking a bribe.
Yeah. Reporters are in a lot of trouble, and I think it's because they are no longer very highly regarded that the courts follow that, and the courts are being sometimes strict. And sometimes you can't imagine why they're doing what they're doing. The Providence case that you mentioned, there was a source. The reporter said he couldn't tell the source. It involved a videotape of somebody handing over a bribe. And the source then came forward, identified himself. Mm-hmm. If the judge and the jury and the grand jury have the information they need, then what is all the shouting about? So now they've taken this fellow. He's going 6 months, but at home, because he had a heart problem. They don't think he should go to jail. But what are those 6 months for?
And let me ask you about, once again, Palestinian elections are coming up. The statistical front runner on that race, Mr. Barghouti, has been in and out of the race. He now says he'll cede it to Mahmoud Abbas if the two can strike a deal. What does he want?
I don't know. I think what he wants is to play an important part in what is really the reconstruction of the Palestinian political picture. With Arafat now gone, the younger ones come in, and they have a chance to remake the Palestinian politics. And I think that's what he's trying to do, and trying to do it the best way he can. By the way, before I see we're just about to finish,
Yeah. If
you'll permit a matter of personal privilege.
Yes.
I said last Saturday that I thought Kofi Annan was not very long for that job. I had to go with the information I had. If I had better information, I might have been better advised. He is now being backed by the administration.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.